Well, thanks for joining me, and thank you for joining me last night. We had a wonderful turnout for the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, and it was great to be able to pray with you. It was great to pray with Father Rocky. I heard some familiar voices, and boy, what a wonderful prayer gathering. Let me know how God has worked in your life and how he is answering your prayers, all right? Because I really believe there are a lot of prayers being answered. When that many people gather together around the country, around the world, and we implore God. God's merciful. He's generous. His heart overflows with mercy. He desires to shower you in grace. He desires to respond to your pleas. He does. You know, and we live in a time right now, I think, sometimes where there's a lot of fear, right? People are worried about the economy. They're fearful of their future. They're fearful of possible war. They're fearful of the diagnosis that the doctor's given them. There's a great unspoken truth in that there's never a cause to fear. And I want you to know that. You know, if you operate with humility and you have faith, then there is no room at all to fear. You know, that's the only fear is really the state of your soul. Because love casts out fear, right? Love leads to humbleness. It drives away the evil one. When you operate with that heart, when you operate with that trust, when you operate with that lack of fear, that lack of anxiety, then you're going to see doors open. You're going to see blessings come your way. You're going to see those answered prayers that you're seeking. I really do believe that. It's very simple. I look at the spiritual life sometimes. I think it's not that complicated, right? We got to be childlike. You got to detach from the world. You've got to operate. You got to fill your heart with love. And humility. I always pray for a spirit of humility and love and good intention in my heart. But then I also just pray that, you know, fear and anxiety and worry and those things that the world says I should be concerned about, they diminish. And then I put my eyes on the true source of everything, of all life and all creation. That's our Heavenly Father. And trust Him, knowing that He's in complete control. And if you do that, if you let the world vanish and you put your eyes on things that are eternal, then I'm telling you what, that fear will go away. Your faith will increase. Your trust will be abundant. And then as God said, the more a soul trusts, the more it receives, you will be blessed abundantly. So let's pray for you now. Okay, I mean, it sounds simple. I know it's not always as easy as it sounds. Satan certainly doesn't want you to trust in the goodness or the love of God the Father. He wants you to be fearful. That's his calling card, right? Fear, anxiety, worry, division. That's all the hallmarks of the evil one. But I'm telling you, just put it all behind you and say, God created me. He's in charge of everything. And whatever he wants, just submit yourself to his will, whatever it is. If you have to endure a little further, maybe a few more chemo treatments, maybe another month of financial hardship, maybe you got to endure just a little bit more in that therapy session, submit yourself to it. But know that God hears your prayers and that God is going to work in your life. I'm convinced of it. I've seen so many miracles in my life. I've seen incredible miracles. You know, not just food multiplying and statues weeping and those type of incredible things. I've seen lives changed. I've seen addictions broken. I've seen miraculous healings. I've seen tumors disappear. God exists. All right, I'm telling you that today. He does. Put your trust in him today. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not fear. All right, do not. Do not, do not. Hey, I'm praying today with my colleague, Maggie. I always appreciate praying with her. And Maggie, is there anything you want to lift up?
Drew, yeah, we have so many prayer intentions. I think because you were on the Family Rosary, I don't know if you got this email from Jennifer, but she said we had a record-breaking number of prayer intentions
That's
coming
awesome.
In. So I've been sifting through a lot of them. A caller did just call in to us and said that there's a 24-year-old missing from the D.C. area. Mm. Her name's Taylor Hackle, and she's been missing since Monday. So I know this chaplet has a charism for the missing. So I wanted to lift that up. And also, Hong just tweeted us and said, please continue to pray for Jesus's divine mercy to heal Elena. She has started to show some hand and feet movements, but has not yet opened her eyes. This is the 34th day after being struck by a car.
Oh, how horrible.
So I just wanted, those just really hit me. So I wanted to lift those up first thing.
Well, I want to still continue to pray for Bob Tabali, who is going to be enduring his own little way to Calvary for the next couple of weeks. So he's a great contributor to this radio program and this network. So if you can remember Dr. Tabali in your prayers, I know he'd appreciate it. Matt Dunbar, if you are listening, another great contributor here, Captain Dunbar, showed me a great act of mercy today. And I just want to thank him for that. And say, Matt, I'm praying for you and for your family. Okay. You'll be remembered in this chaplet. Somebody else was saying, hey, I hope you're feeling better, Drew. I'm requesting prayers for my lung condition. I finished radiation and I was doing okay for a while. My last scan was considered, though, abnormal. Not sure about the cancer spot and the inflammation to my lungs. The CT will be redone in 2 months. And I met with my oncologist next week in case I need chemo. I can't have any more radiation, and I'm not a surgery candidate. It's gotten hard for me to walk, so I'm looking at wheelchairs. My 50-year-old son has been in a wheelchair his whole life, and I believe that in the power of the chaplet, we're all in God's hands. So I pray for his healing. If it is his will, please pray for my children and grandchildren. So much going on outside of my health. I hope you feel better too. Well, thank you. Maureen, I am on the mend. Still hacking and coughing. I'm still trying to get through this, but boy, I'm about a million times better than I was a couple days ago. And I think a couple days from now, this will be behind me. I don't know what it is. It's been something that's gripped me recently. So if you could pray for my health today, I'd appreciate it. But Maureen, we're going to lift you. We're going to lift you up. All right. And one final attention here, and we'll start praying. This comes because it's kind of a critical one. Just got this text. This person said, pray for Todd. He's having his right arm and fingers on his left hand amputated tomorrow morning. His condition is fragile, so he needs prayers. All right, we'll lift him up right now. And let's pray. We'll pray for you. And if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. We'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Just a quick FYI for anyone who sent me a prayer intention. I took them all with me to the Holy Land, and they were some of the holiest places I think that they could be. There where Christ walked, where he healed, where he ministered, where he taught. Above all, they were at Calvary, where he conquered death. They were in his holy sepulcher, laid on the very slab where his body was taken care of, and they were left to be prayed for by Carmelite nuns. So if you had sent something in, no prayers are still coming your way. Let's pray for you now. Our first call comes from Lena in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Lena. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you? This is Lena.
I'm well, Lena. I'm hanging in there.
Yes. First of all, I want to pray for you, for your
health.
Thank you. And I appreciate your help. For me, I am calling because I am from Middle East. I came here to this country 20 years ago. I have been studying to be a doctor. After 20 years of struggling and studying, I got to a residency program. After 10 months of my working in the residency program, my program director, he dismissed me unfairly.
Oh, no.
Therefore, I need a miracle to go back to work. If I can't go back to work in a residency program, I can't work a doctor. Please pray for me for a miracle. And I'm praying for a healing too for my son's vision. Please, if you can pray for me to get back to work. And I want to help people here. I came to this country to help. And I don't know what to do. Please pray for me.
I want you to be at peace. And now's the time more than ever to put your trust in God. All right? Do not fear. The Lord's more powerful than anything else, and we can pray for the conversion of the heart of this director. We can pray for second chances. The Lord promised that he would defend his own glory, anyone who prayed this chaplain. All right, so let's pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for this beautiful woman who's worked so hard and now sees this opportunity taken from her. And so often we see these situations. God can draw straight with crooked lines, right? He can find ways out of situations that have no way out when we pray and when we fast. And Lord, I just pray for all those right now facing legal sentences. I want to pray for those who perhaps feel they didn't pass that test, or those who are facing impossible situations, maybe health, whatever it may be, finances. As St. Faustina says, a humble soul doesn't trust itself, but it places all of its confidence, all of its faith in God. And Lord, I give you those who are in these difficult, difficult situations. I don't have an answer. I don't know how you're going to resolve it, but you do. You see the big picture. And I just pray for all who are now crying out to you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's take our next call. Mary is listening in Mammoth Lakes, California. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Welcome back. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.
I have a neighbor on top who's playing this horrible boom, annoying. It's boom, 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 and it's getting through our ceiling, and it's annoying music affecting our nervous system. To find a resolution, I think he's on methamphetamine. I think that's what it's called. So there's a lot of drugs up here. So just to stop playing that music, finding a resolution, we're praying for your immune system and
Thank
healing,
you.
Drew.
Thank you so much.
It gets a little bit, yeah, homeless cats. There's a lot of winter coming up here, and I'm praying for homeless cats to find homes everywhere.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, what a beautiful heart you have, Mary. We'll pray for you, and you know what? Pray to your angel, too. That music can stop. Maybe speak to his angel. Just ask for something to take place. But we'll pray right now. Look, prayer changes things. And what I love about your intention, whether it's the cats or the music or somebody on methamphetamine, God honors all of these prayers. He hears our prayers. He wants us to pour our heart out to him. Those intentions, large or small, they matter to God. And the Lord can resolve situations the way we don't know. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And Lord, I believe that. I thank you so much for the opportunity to pray every day here. And I submit this intention and all those intentions that so many people have right now, those who've lost objects, those who are awaiting test results, those right now that have just gotten in a big fight, those who are heartbroken. Lord, I give you the daily difficulties of our life, and I just immerse them in your mercy. The Lord told St. Faustina, your mercy does not hinder my mercy, right? Your misery does not hinder my mercy, he says. Your misery does not hinder my mercy. The greater the misery of a soul, the greater the right you have to my mercy. So let's trust now in that unfathomable abyss of his mercy as we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Barbara. Before I go to her, though, please send in your attention. Not everybody can get through on the phone lines. I know that. You can go to our Twitter page at Drew Mariani or at Drew Mariani Show. Put them at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie will grab them. Follow me at Drew Mariani as well. Send me your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. But Maggie, what's coming in? What can we pray for today?
Drew, Sam from Athens, Georgia, sent me a note to pray for his friend Vince, who's really sick with COVID pneumonia, he says. Maria from Granada Hills sent us an email. She said, "My sister and I tuned in last night to the family rosary to listen to you. My nephew Paul almost died 2 years ago. His lung collapsed, and doctors had to induce a coma on him to keep him on a respirator for over a month."
Wow.
She said, "I live in Southern California. My sister is up north. She was desperate with uncertainty. I took my car and drove 9 hours with the company of Relevant Radio the whole way. I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the family rosary. When I got there, he was still in a coma. My sister and I prayed for 3 days, and he started to breathe and recovered completely. She said, to me, it was God that gave us this miracle with the help of Relevant Radio." She says, "Today, doctors found a dark spot on Paul's lungs, and they have to do a CAT scan." She said, "I'm entrusting my nephew to you again. Jesus, I trust in you."
Amen.
I know. Anne from Illinois needs prayers for William Lind, a police officer attacked by a suspect and has multiple head injuries and major trauma. Anna wrote to us and said, "Please pray for my sister's friend, Iwa, who's been recently hospitalized, now intubated due to an unknown disease. Iwa is in her mid-50s. And lastly, Michael from Wisconsin is asking for prayers for his surgery on his spine tomorrow morning. He says, "I'm asking that Jesus guides the hands of the surgeon and his whole team, and that we would get good results from this."
Wow, that's a serious intention. All right, we'll lift up all those intentions. And Maggie, I know you had sent me a message about the previous caller who had the loud music. Is there a prayer you wanted to recommend to her?
Oh, I've heard good things about the Saint Benedict prayer, the Crux Sacra Mihi Lux, the cross is my light prayer when in those situations.
All right, so hopefully just check that out. We'll lift up all these intentions, all so serious, along with Barbara, who's praying with us in Cicero, Illinois. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
I know you're not. I know you're not. You're brave.
Well, you're kind. You're kind. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. I'm praying that my landlord renews my lease. I'm 86 years old.
Oh, no.
And I've got two cats. And I don't know what I'd do if I didn't get my lease renewed.
Yeah. Well, let's pray he does. Is there a reason he won't renew it for you?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, then we're going to pray.
I know.
And we don't have anything to worry about.
He's a new
landlord?
He's a new owner, and he never comes here.
All right. Well, if you pay your rent on time, he'll probably leave you alone. So I'm sure you do, Barbara. I know. You're going to be fine.
Okay.
Let's pray for you now, okay? Let's do that.
Thank you.
Be at peace. Do not fear. That's kind of the mantra today. I really believe that. And don't get stressed out about things that aren't even a problem yet, right? Let's just put our trust in God. Anxiety, St. Francis de Sales once said, is one of the greatest evils that can befall a soul except for sin. Why? Because God, he says, commands you to pray, but he forbids you to worry. He forbids you to worry. The Lord, the scriptures tell us in Isaiah, do not fear, right? I'm with you. Isaiah 41. And Faustina writes about this over and over again. So, Lord, we trust in you. We place all of our confidence in you. And I just right now pray for Barb. I really intercede for this beautiful 86-year-old woman, for her health, for her cats, especially for the place that she can reside in. And I pray for all those now in jeopardy of losing their homes, jeopardy of losing their apartments, all those who are having real financial problems, Lord, those facing crises of housing and food and economics. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mary in San Diego. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you so much. I would like to, please, I'm holding out a big cup. I would like you please, everyone, to please pray for my brother, George, for miraculous healing, for complete healing from fourth-stage cancer. Wow. He is a fighter and insisted on continuing treatment, even though his doctor wanted him to put him on palliative care.
Yeah. I'm sorry to
He's
hear that.
He's very positive. He never complains.
I love it. Well, we'll pray now, but you must love him. He's your brother, and we're going to pray
right now.
God will give him an extension of life, okay? I love that, that spirit in him. He loves life. He values life. Lord, you said that the chaplet is a powerful prayer. At the time of death, you said it's a powerful prayer for anything we ask. And just as you raised the widow's son, as you raised your friend Lazarus, just as you healed the sick, we ask you, Lord, for your holy will to be done first and foremost. But I do pray for an extension of life right now. So, Mary can see the beauty, the power of this prayer. So many can testify to your great glory. And I pray for all those in critical health situations right now, especially those in the fight with cancer. I'm going to pray for Deacon Bob Ellis. For all those who now join me in this prayer. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from the Windy City, Chicago. Hey, Martha, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate prayers for my husband. He is under the influence of a woman. She must be in the occult. She has very dark spirits around her, and my husband is not telling the truth ever, and he's involved with her. I discovered a letter that went back and forth between them, and it broke my heart, and he's walking away from his family, 6 kids, and just for me to have strength and to get through this and for his soul to be saved. And, you know, if there's any hope for our marriage, but most of all for his soul and for the protection of my children and for me to do God's will.
I'm sorry, Martha, that your children are going through this. Sorry for what you're going through. I pray to God to never know or have to walk in those shoes. But, you know, conversion is one of those prayers I'm so convinced of that the Lord hears and he honors. And if that's a sacramental marriage, you know, those chains, that's deceptive spirits, those spirits of infidelity, of lust, whatever it may be, they can be broken. God can heal. God can bring about conversion, right? I'm convinced of that. And Lord, right now, I ask for all those who are in troubled marriages, where there's anger, where there is abuse, where there is infidelity, where there's deep hurt, where there is a real disconnect emotionally. Lord, I just ask for healing. I ask that you enter in. And Lord, I know that anything we ask of in virtue of your passion will be granted if it's according to your will. I know you want marriages kept together. I do. I know that. I know that. I know that. So, Lord, I just, I pray for this intention in particular for Martha. And I give to you everyone else that's on hold with me right now, too. There's so many people who are wounded or suffering, who need that miracle in their life, Lord, who are begging for that change, for that mercy. I give to you their finances, their health, their relationship, their children, their addictions, their proclivities, Lord. I just bring them to the foot of the cross, and I ask you just to cover them in your precious blood. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you honor this great sacrifice of your Son and allow torrents of graces now to flow as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love. And mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Reconciler of peoples and nations,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Hey, when we come back, there's a lot we're going to get into today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with me for the remainder of the program here. I was stopped when I was traveling by somebody who mentioned that they have parents that are now cohabitating. And a lot of people are now doing this in older age. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the issue of depression. There is a Catholic therapist I just recently came across. I wanted to bring him on the air here because he might be able to help you reframe depression. And when I return, Father Damaris is going to be stopping by. I want to do a follow-up to yesterday's show on talking to spirits. Dealing with ghosts, but in particular, using the occult. There's a lot of mediums out there. People want to talk to the dead. We'll take a look at that and a whole lot more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
No Catholic has any business dealing in seances or trying to contact the spirits of the dead. No Catholic has any business dealing with Ouija boards, tarot cards, or anything of the kind. Some of these things are associated with the demonic, and some of them have been known to actually introduce the demonic into the lives of the people who get involved in them. Even once, in some cases.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's kind of a creepy rejoin. It's that time of year, though, isn't it? It's good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. I thought I'd do a follow-up. Yesterday, we took a look at the reality of ghosts, what they were, how we discern them, what the church taught, what the great saints had to say, and even great theologians. And if you missed that conversation, you can go to yesterday. I think it was the last hour of my broadcast. Go check that podcast out. It's well worth re-listening to. But I thought, look, let's do a follow-up on this, because why is witchcraft? Why are Ouija boards? Why are tarot cults? Why is the occult raging today, right? Why has this gotten such traction in our culture? You know, for years, I think the there's been a rising tide. The occult is now it is pervasive. You know, you've got the province of witches. You have psychic dabblers. I was watching a Netflix show not too long ago, and I might have shared this with you before, that it kind of intrigued me, because I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, they're doing something on the afterlife. And I remember this physician that I had on who died in a kayaking accident in Chile, and they did a whole piece on her. But it was a slippery slope, because the next piece, they did a whole series. It started with an afterlife experience. That hooked me. But as I began to watch the series, it got darker and darker. I began to talk about mediums, and next thing you know, went into channeling, and it just got occultic. And I didn't want that in my home, and I didn't want to be exposed to it. So I'm going to open the phones today. We're going to speak to Father Damaris about this. I'd love to get your stories, your reactions, and we'll answer your questions. I only have them for a couple segments. The number to get in is 888-914-9149. You know, we've talked about the Ouija board in the past. Maybe you've gone to mediums. Maybe you've had tarot cards read. Maybe you believe in crystals. This is that time of month of October where people say, hey, let's have a seance. Let's see if we can conjure the dead. It's kind of innocent. It's a time of year where, you know, people crack out the old Ouija board and they think, oh, this is an innocent Parker Brothers game. Let's just play with it a little bit. We'll ask a couple questions and see what happens. I bet you, or some of you know, has messed with the Ouija board, and it really did respond, right? It did have some sort of reaction. Seems like innocent fun, right? But there are serious spiritual dangers to this. So I thought today we could look at some of these other aspects of the occult. We dealt with the ghost yesterday, but what about mediums, psychics? What about Ouija boards? What about seances? What about divination? And that's exactly what you're doing here. You're calling upon a demonic spirit through the Ouija board. That's a form of divination. If you have one, throw it out. I'm joined today by longtime friend of the program, always delighted to have him here, Father Paul Damaris. Father, thanks for your time. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, this is one of those conversations you and I have every year, but I think it's well worth talking about. Father, by the way, hails from Charleston, Rhode Island. He's the pastor there at St. Mary's Parish. If you're ever in town, stop by. Tell him you heard him on Relevant Radio from the Diocese of Providence. You're involved in deliverance ministry. You see a lot of this. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I thought maybe Ouija boards, because a lot of people play with these at this time of year, and there are countless stories of encounters with it. And I've spoken to a number of exorcists who all say this is really a dangerous portal. Fill everyone in on why this is not just an innocent Parker Brother game.
Well, the word Ouija itself comes from two words, the French word oui, the German word ja, which means the yes board. Both of those mean yes. It's older than Christianity, that type of conjuring forth of spirits into the material world is actually older than Christianity. But there is the belief that we can control spirits. We can control the demonic. We can control spirits that come forth from an Ouija board or from a seance or whatever people have done to try and call these things forward. It sounds benign. There's a priest friend of mine who called it pretty poison. It sounds good. It sounds attractive. But then when a spirit does come forth, they can't control it. No matter what you try to do to protect yourself from it, it is going to be stronger than you are. And you're going to pay the consequences of calling that spirit forth into the material world. And so, yeah, it is. Now, it doesn't happen every single time someone uses it, but what it does, it creates an attraction to it. Hey, I did it once. Let's do it again, or let's do it again. And then before you know it, All of a sudden, something does come forth you can't control, and you become possessed by it.
Yeah, well, that's you know, this became a reality, and I talk about this all the time. The movie The Exorcist featured a girl, but it was actually a little boy who was possessed in the 70s there, and his aunt would bring the Ouija board over and play with him, and next thing you know, this boy ended up needing a full-fledged exorcism, and it was the Ouija board that really, you know, let that in, or let that
particular
spirit in.
They are doors to the spirit world. They open up the door to the spirit world, and then the spirits come forth from that world into ours.
So the Ouija board is one of those keys, if you will, that opens those doors, right?
Yep.
I mean, you're literally,
yes,
when Satan's a legalist, you're saying, hey, I want to speak to a spirit. You're divining. You're trying to conjure and talk to a particular spirit. Tell me a little bit, about seances that are mediums, because this is kind of a confusing thing for a lot of people. I understand the whole Ouija board thing. People think it's innocent, but it actually has its origins back in, like, what, ancient Babylonia. It goes back for centuries upon centuries. Those who go to these mediums, and there's a lot of them that seem to have some real gifts. And there's some very famous ones like the Long Island medium or the Hollywood medium or some of these others. There's another guy who used to have his rosaries, claimed to be Catholic, and did the same thing. What happens with these guys, and how do you explain their accuracy?
When they play for something that's more than a game, but it's an actual reality to talk to the spirit world, at the beginning, the spirits are quote-unquote very cooperative. But then at some point, it's not if, but when these things will turn on you. These spirits that you have brought forth, that you have spoken to, that you have asked questions to, it will come back to, it will turn on you. I dealt with a case where a father had a seance in his house to speak to a friend who had passed away, quote unquote, to speak to him. But instead of, so a medium came into the house to call forth the spirit of this person who had died. Instead, these demonic spirits came forth and they entered his daughter.
Wow.
And so the daughter became, because she was there, she was in the house, she was at the table, and the spirit came and attacked the daughter.
Wow.
And there was nothing that they could do to stop it.
Wow. So what happened?
So it was over a period of time, it was bringing her to, first of all, take back the spiritual authority that she had given away, to renounce it, to confess it, to go back to the sacraments, the rosary, and then prayers of deliverance. You know, and those were the steps that took place. But first she had to renounce it. She had to take authority over it, confess it, you know, go to Mass, go to receive communion, pray the rosary, and then we can do prayers of deliverance. But she had to make the choice to renounce it, to renounce what she did, and take authority over it. And she did, and she was delivered. But it took a while. It took a while because this thing had a real hold on her. And so it took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of her receiving the sacraments, her praying the rosary, you know, getting ever closer to our Lord and our Lady before she could be free.
We live in a strange time, don't we? It seems like, and I've read a lot about this, I've heard from others too, that it seems the need for this type of deliverance, the spiritual deliverance, these exorcisms are on the rise. And why is that? I would make the case because we have really rejected God and we become more godless, but has the occult taken a greater foot? I mean, we see networks or companies like Disney now indoctrinating kids with shows like Little Demons or exposing them to this type of stuff. We've seen all sorts of glorification of something that is just fundamentally evil, making it look like it's a good. What are you seeing, and why is it that more people seem to be vulnerable or in need of the authority of the church to give them liberation from these oppressive spirits?
Fear. There is a fear out there of and the lockdown was a great example of people who are isolated, alone, wondering what their future would be like, Where do you turn? Where do you find answers? How do you find them? And they turn to the occult. They turn to things like a Ouija board, seances. They turn to mediums to answer questions, to make a prediction for what their future would be like. I had a couple who used the Ouija board after they got engaged to tell them what their marriage would be like. And the board said everything was going to be fine, beautiful, and it turned into an absolute disaster.
I got to take a break, Father. When we come back, we'll take a few calls. I only have, Father, maybe 10 more minutes with me today. So if you've got a question or comment you want to get in, this is the only chance for you to do it. The number's 888-914-914. And I want to come back, too. I know we're all over the spectrum here, but I know I only have you for a short time. I want to know about haunted houses. A lot of people like to go into these places. Are there places and objects that can bring about attachments? What's the best way to safeguard ourselves? We'll look at that and a lot more.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Have a question about ghosts, cults, or demonic possession? You'll get some real Catholic answers right here. It's Halloween week. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. If you are just tuning in, speaking to Father Damaris, we're talking, well, the dangers of what a lot of people dabble in at this time of year. And that, of course, is seance, tapping in the mediums, going into haunted homes, trying to conjure the dead. I think it's St. Padre Pio who he once described the devil as a rabid dog tied to a chain. As long as you don't put yourselves in striking distance, he's not going to harm you, right? Unfortunately, today I think people unknowingly are putting themselves in striking distance. How do they do that? Well, through conjuring, through astrology, through tarot cards, going to these psychics, playing with the Ouija boards, thinking you can talk to the dead through seances, going to palm readers. You know, all of this stuff. God does not put restrictions on you because he wants to chain you down. He does want to protect you. And that's exactly, you know, why we have to be obedient to his rules. And the church is very clear. This is a divination, you know, is dangerous. I'm joined, as I said, by Father Damaris. And Father, let's take a few calls. There's some really interesting calls here. Let's go to Robin in San Diego first. Robin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how do you know what's the difference between someone who has a true spiritual gift and God is, you know, giving a message to them? I mean, St. Faustina would be a great example, right? And so, or someone whom we should not listen to because it's not coming from God.
Okay, great question.
Listen to how they present themselves and what they present. Are they taking credit for this particular insight that they receive? What feeling do you have when you hear them share that? Are you suddenly sick to your stomach, uneasy about what they're saying, or do you feel at peace, and do you feel what they're saying is right? So it's listen very carefully to how they present what it is they present, and then check yourself to see how you are reacting to what it is, the message that they are giving, the message that they are saying. It's also... gifts aren't meant to be used just solely, particularly by ourselves. They are meant to be used in the context of, let's say, a prayer group or a healing ministry or deliverance ministry. But the gifts are meant to be used for other people, with other people.
You know, it's a great question. When I was shooting my documentary on apparitions, one of the criteria I learned from a Mariologist, when you see these people claim to have communication with God or Our Lady or whoever it might be, there's five different things the church looks at. I'll try to remember all five. I'll probably get three or four of them off the top of my head. One is the credibility or the stability of the seer. You know, are they mentally sound? Two, are they profiting off of these prophecies or these words or these visions? What are the fruits of these particular messages? You know, do they bring goodness, as you point out, Father? They draw you closer to God, or there are alternative reasons? So, I mean, and there's a number of other ones there too. You know, stability, psychological stability of the soul, the prophet, etc. But there is a distinct difference between what you know, somebody who's receiving messages from God and somebody who isn't delivers. Elaine is listening in New York. It's good to have her in Orangeburg, New York. Hi, Elaine. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, can physical illness be a form of demon attack? And I ask this, teenage daughter who's been very ill for about a year and a half. And we've gone to doctor after doctor. She does have a diagnosis. They feel that something from a virus caused this. Mm-hmm. But I just keep wondering about it with her. She had like two concussions, then a neurological disorder, now this virus attack. And I feel like she's under attack, and I'm just wondering if that's possible.
All right. Good question.
It is. What is happening now is you're finding more and more deliverance and healing ministries growing in parishes, and people who have no particular answer to what it is that's afflicting them are, you know, going to prayer groups and talking to healing priests, healing pastors about what it is. And so praying over people, praying for deliverance and praying for healing is a component of someone's ability to be cured of what they have. So that's a component of it. But, I mean, going to the doctors first is that's the prudent thing to do. And then also that person can be prayed over. She can be prayed over for what she has you know, through the prayers and the laying out of hands by, you know, a particular prayer group or a pastor.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, Christ often cast out demons before he healed, Father. So I do think that is an important aspect. We can't look for the devil under every rock behind every door either, because we live in a world of fear if that was indeed the case. Make sure you're right with God, too. You have a sacramental life going on, and then God also has given us medicine to resolve a lot of these issues. And I think the two go hand in hand, though. But you're right. I think we're seeing a rise in those two ministries come together. Let me go to Larry next in Wisconsin. Larry, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. Just wondering if someone that is in their 40s, upper 40s, and they have dabbled with the Ouija board, but that was back in they were 16 to 18, 19. Is there anything that we can do to disconnect that, you know, maybe there was something there?
Mm-hmm.
What is there any prayers? What do we need to do to disconnect that?
I mean, the sacraments, you go right to the sacraments. You go to confession. You go to the Eucharist. You know, you can even be anointed, you know, with the sacrament of the sick. So the sacraments are the most powerful forms of deliverance that we have. You know, so but if they're not going to go to confession, if they're not going to go to Mass, if they're not going to take part in the sacramental life of the church or for themselves, then no matter what you do, no matter what you say, nothing's going to happen until they, first of all, confess that, you know, confess and atone for it and, you know, to repent of what they did.
It's such a good call, though, Father, because I know a lot of people think, oh, when I was a kid, I dealt with that. You know, confession, confession, confession. I was in college one time, true story. I went to argue a grade with my professor. You know, I thought I deserved a better grade. So I go in there, and she apparently says, oh, okay, well, let me, reevaluate the paper. Hey, you know, I read tarot cards. You want me to read your tarot cards and see what, you know, I was a senior getting ready to graduate. And I didn't know. I wasn't really that deep in my family. I'm like, sure, why not, right? And she read my cards, and she talked about some woman who'd be in my future. And true to what she said, a lot of it came true. There was this woman I'd later work with. But in retrospect, I went back, and I thought, oh, I got to confess that. You know, I didn't really believe in it. Apparently, I think she was into some sort of witchcraft as well. I didn't realize it at the time, but confession will break those bonds, because I often say, and you probably have heard this a million times, one sacramental confession is worth, 10,000 exorcisms, right?
Yeah.
Nothing more powerful.
Yep.
So get the confession.
All right, let's follow it up with the Eucharist.
Amen to that. We'll go to Michael in Salinas, California. Hi, Michael.
Hello there. See, I wanted to mention, Drew and Father, that it was probably about 10 days ago that I was at an evening talk by an exorcist from the Diocese of Monterey. And one of the points that he had made was, yes, we should be going to confession once a month just to keep our heart and soul cleansed, so to speak. But what he also mentioned was that when we're born, we are assigned a guardian angel. But at the same time, we are also, through Satan, assigns us a demon in our life. And so his point to that was that we have to get up every day and choose Jesus, start our day by saying, I am with you, and not let the devil get a foothold in our life.
Sure.
All right. Sure, Father,
absolutely.
Is that accurate that we're assigned a demon?
Yes.
Interesting.
That's really that's where, you know, that you're going to find out that that's where most of your temptations are going to come from. This little voice inside of you that says, or this little voice that you hear that says, oh, that's okay. This nothing's going to happen. That's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You get, they call mocking spirits. Mm. They're called spirits of mockery.
Wow. Fascinating. Hey, I only have about a minute or two left. Janet has a question from Concordia, Kansas. She wants to know about dressing kids up for Halloween like a witch or a devil. Is that innocent or is that kind of spiritually dangerous?
I think at one point in our culture, there was a good foundation for us to fall back on. So it was at one time, yeah, okay, no big, you know, we dressed up a devil or witches or whatever, a ghost. But to now, because we have just lost the sense of the truth, people who are dressing up as ghosts, who are dressing up as demons or as dressing up as witches, there's nothing to let them know that, you know, what they are, what this is, you know, evil.
What do you make of sports teams that are named after, like the Devils or something along those lines?
Well, Tampa Bay just dropped they just dropped Devil Rays, and that's just now the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, I think teams are becoming aware of exactly what these things signify, you know, which at one time we probably didn't before, so.
Father, thank you for your time. We'll catch up again soon. I'm grateful for your insight, as always. Keep up your beautiful work. Stay with me. I'll be right back with more.